Good morning, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started, and I just want to congratulate all of you all who made it out here this morning. I was saying I got dressed in the dark because we don't have electricity yet, so don't look too close because I might have missed a button or something, you know. Anyway, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness and just your many ways that you've shown your grace to us and your love, and we've felt your presence. We thank you that one of the ways we've felt that presence is through our brothers and sisters in Christ and their prayers and their concern and their help during this time. We ask you to come and take full control of our time here, and you show us what you want us to know and teach us. And help us, Lord, to really, really be more grateful for your word and to just take it into our hearts and be transformed by it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we have waded through a lot of things already. We've talked about how God loves us and he wants us to love him. And how can we love him if we don't know him? And he's the one that took the steps to reach out to us and reveal himself to us. First of all, through creation, but then through his word, and finally through Jesus. And then we talked about how the Holy Spirit used the writers of the Bible and through inspiration. And they were able to get down God's words. And then we talked about how those words have been faithfully passed along through the centuries, and that we can trust what we have. We talked about how the early church was able to discern and recognize which of those books were inspired by the Holy Spirit and which ones weren't. And then we've talked about the whole issue of translation and how you can have thought for thought or word for word and different factors that go into translation. We talked about critical analysis, about looking at the different fragments and the manuscripts that we have, and the ones that are older, and then the ones that we have more of. We talked about how grateful we are for the abundance of manuscripts that we have that go back to within just a few years of the actual events, and all of that is just things that make us more and more and more confident that what we have really is God's word, and that it is true. And so now we're coming up to more like the present time, and we're going to start off this morning talking about biblical interpretation. And so can you go ahead and go to that next slide? We want to talk about accuracy, the accuracy of interpretation. And so when you're reading your Bible, one of the first questions you want to know is, what did the text mean to its original audience? Okay? When it was written, those people that were receiving that, what did those words mean to them? Okay? And, of course, that's going to include a lot of different cultural nuances. That's going to include figures of speech. For instance, when we talk about a camel going through the eye of a needle, that sounds kind of weird to us. But in the Greek, it's a play on words. And so the word for camel is like gomel, and the word for eye of a needle is gomla. So when Jesus said his original audience would have thought, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, he's making a little play on words. So understanding things like that help us to interpret it better. The theologians and pastors use a word often called exegesis, which just means an explanation or a critical interpretation of a text. And that's where the pastors will spend a lot of time in their study digging into the the word studies and what was going on in the culture at that time, and trying to really understand what these words meant to their original audience. And of course, it helps to know Greek and Hebrew, and to understand some of the different things that, like the verb tenses, where it says, like, be filled with the Spirit isn't just a one-time thing. It's a verb tense that means be continually, like keep on and keep on being filled. But those are the kinds of things that help us to be able to accurately interpret the Bible. And, of course, a knowledge of ancient culture and history. I'd like to recommend a book to you. If you want to jot down a book, you can get this on Amazon. But it's a very fascinating study of the culture that was going on during Jesus' time. And it's called Seeing Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. Seeing Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. And I want to take a minute just to talk about just a little section in one of the chapters of that book that just revolutionized my thoughts about the Christmas story. And so one of the things that they brought out was this idea of Joseph and Mary coming up to a hotel someplace, knocking on the door, and the guy says, you know, there's no room here in the hotel, so you can go out and stay in the barn. Okay. A Middle Easterner, if they read that passage and if they understood it like we do here in America, would be terribly, terribly offended by that, because it would be such an inhospitable kind of a thing to do. And so as this writer was breaking down the actual words and the culture, here's what he said. First of all, the word is not hotel. The word is, there was no room for them in the inn. Okay, we think of like a hotel. But actually, that word is the same word that's used later on in the Gospels as the upper room. Okay? So it'd be like more like a guest room. And there wasn't any room in the guest room. Okay? Now, you have to think about it. Back in those days, in that part of the world, they were used to having people come from all over the Middle East to come for their annual feast that they had. At Passover, they said there was probably a million lambs that had been brought to Jerusalem. And when they were slaughtered, the blood just ran down the streets. And so if there's a million lambs, imagine how many people are coming in from out of town and need a place to stay. And so that would happen for several of their feast days, you know, throughout the year. And so it was really common for people to have these guest rooms, because you're forever having people come in from out of town. And so when Joseph and Mary, and they were having the census, Joseph was to go back to his hometown, he was from the line of David, and his hometown was Bethlehem. So all of a sudden, guess what's happening in Bethlehem? All of the relatives are showing up for the census. And there's all the other relatives that are already there. So there's Uncle Harry and Aunt Sue and all the cousins. Everybody's coming in from out of town, and they're there for the census. So what do you do? Well, you put Uncle Harry and Aunt Sue up in the upper room, which was often up on the second story. And so you put them up there, and they squeeze in a few more of the little cousins and nieces and nephews and everybody like that. And so then who shows up at the door? But here's Joseph and Mary. Well, guess what? The guest room is already filled up. So what do? You make a pallet on the floor, right? Mountain people know how this goes. You just, you know, when the relatives come up, show up, you put them on the couch. And when they run out of couches, you just make a pallet on the floor. Now, the thing about the manger and the stable that we don't understand, that you would understand if you lived in those days, was that when they built their houses, they built a house where the family lived on one level, like a little platform, And then off on one end of the house, down, about 4 feet down, was the place where you kept your animals, the sheep and the cows and all that kind of stuff. And you made the manger, the food troughs, were right up here on the drop-off, so you would have the place where you would put their food. And it's all in the same space. So there's the cows over here, you know, or the sheep are eating out of their little manger. And right over here, you've got the family and you're cooking your food and you're making your meals, okay? So as you think about this Christmas story, Joseph and Mary show up. The guest room is full. They made a pallet on the floor. There's all the women of the family, the mom of the house, and maybe an aunt or another aunt or two. And these women are taking care of Mary during the labor and delivery. And then when they get ready to put the baby someplace, right there beside the pallet is a manger, and they can set the they can fix that up and make a little bed for the baby right there. Now, that's so different to the idea that we've come up with, you know, about what the Christmas story looks like. But if you understood that was the way the culture was, when a Middle Easterner hears that story, then they're going like, oh, yeah, I can accept that. You know, that just sounds just like the way it should be, you know, where the family's welcoming everybody in and they're just making room for each other and taking care of that little baby. So anyway, understanding the culture and some of the different things helps us to interpret Scripture more accurately, and not just put our mindset on it, like how we would do it in, you know, North Carolina in 2024. All right, let's move to the next slide. So another factor in our interpreting the Bible is our theology, okay? Do you believe that the Bible is inspired by God, or is it just a work of men? That would really change how you understand what you're reading. And unfortunately, in a lot of places, a lot of more liberal churches, they're not convinced that it's really inspired by God. And so you can kind of, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I think as we look at it, we are convinced that this is the Word of God, and it's going to impact how we interpret it. What is your position on the supernatural? Okay, do you believe that miracles really happen? Well, in this church, you know, whenever Pastor Terry says, how many of y'all have experienced a healing or a miracle? Every hand goes up, right? And then is the Bible a lens through which we look at culture or vice versa? And I think I've already said that if we try to judge our culture by looking through the lens of the Bible, that's what we should be doing instead of looking at the Bible through our current cultural lens. Okay, let's go to the next slide. The next thing I want to talk about is this doctrine called illumination. It has just a nice sound to it, illumination. Especially if you've been without power for 10 days. Illumination sounds like a great thing. When we were missionaries in Mexico, we had many dear friends that were Roman Catholics, and they respected God. It was the same God that we believed in, and they knew Jesus. They didn't know him in his power. When they thought of Jesus, it was always a dead guy on a crucifix, or it was a little tiny, powerless baby. So they didn't know much about the triumphant, risen Christ. But then the Bible, they had a Bible like we have, but they were not encouraged to read their Bible. In fact, they were discouraged from reading the Bible. And the reason was is that they said, no, you should leave that to the experts. You know, our priest, your priest will tell you what you need to know about the Bible. And unfortunately, that became kind of a way of controlling people. And so when I would talk to my neighbors, I would invite them, would you be interested in knowing what the Bible says? Or There we go. And they were curious about the Bible, but they were a little hesitant because they thought they might get in trouble with the priest. Anyway, I would explain to them this doctrine of illumination. And they understood how the Holy Spirit had inspired the original writers to get it all down on parchment or whatever they were writing on. But I said, don't you understand that's the same Holy Spirit that's going to help us to take it off the page and get it into our hearts? So the same Spirit that got it down there is the same Holy Spirit that's going to help us to be able to understand what God wants us to know from this. I mean, if he's so bent on us knowing him, then obviously he's going to be involved in both of those processes, you know, in revealing it, getting it written down, and then us being able to finally take it in. So that's the doctrine of illumination. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Liam. It says, the Holy Spirit inspired the original writers of Scripture, and the same Holy Spirit illuminates God's Word so that we can understand and interpret Scripture. And I would just encourage you to, when you pick up your Bible to read, I think it's a good practice to start with prayer and to just say, God, you've gone to all this work to put this thing in my hands. Help me now to get it from the page into my mind and into my heart. Help me to see things that I haven't seen. Help me to be touched by things. Shine your light down deep in my heart and transform me through your word. I think that's a good practice to have. Okay. The next thing we're going to talk about then is something called application. When they teach you to preach in seminary, this is always the final point about, okay, you've been through and you made your 3 points and all this kind of stuff. So what? Right? So what? And this application is the so what, right? How is this going to make a difference now to me in my life? Okay, let's go to the next slide. So, application is the process of putting into practice what the reader has learned. Now, next point, applications will vary greatly, and many are legitimately possible. Okay? Same passage of Scripture, and you may have 100 different responses according to how you apply that in your life and your situation. All right? Specific application depends upon the person's needs and their willingness to obey God. All right? So, all right. Next slide. So, just concluding the last 4 or 5 weeks that we've been together, I want to take just a little bit of time to do some application with you and just share with you what I have really, really enjoyed as far as my own practice with having a regular time of reading the Bible, okay? Before we do that, I want to pause right here and just ask for some feedback or some thoughts. We've talked about the study and exegesis and understanding of God's Word. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit illuminates that to us. We've talked about applying it to our lives. Any thoughts or feedback on what we've talked about so far this morning? Okay, then I have another question then. Just curious to hear what some of your practices are with Bible reading. Like, do you have any kind of a routine, or like for you, when do you read your Bible? Just think about that for a second. Let's hear some of the different ways that people are doing that in the class this morning. Yep. Okay. Does anybody else do the Bible recap? 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
In concert with each other. So at the end, we can say, now share something with the group that you learned. It's so encouraging to hear what each other are interpreting and applying.
Yeah, that's good. Somebody else, how do you read the Bible? Yep. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit illuminating.
So it's like I'm very fortunate to have that time to do that, because I'm not a person to, it becomes just a thing. It becomes very mechanical to me. So I'm very blessed with that time.
Lynn, you bring up a good point about kind of seasons of life, right? Yes. And some of these young moms, you know, Mary was sharing her philosophy with me about child rearing, and she says, like, I'll give my kids 9 minutes of attention, and then I'll grab 1 minute for myself where I, you know, run to the bathroom or do something for me, then back to, you know, 9 minutes with them and get that 1 minute that I got to take care of me in. So, you know, depending on your season of life and what you're doing, you know, I don't think it's going to be a one size fits all. And so to have some discretionary time where you can just say, you know what, I'm just going to kind of be able to dedicate myself to this. That's good. But I don't want people to beat themselves up because the way I do it is not the way you do it, right? There's a lot of grace there, because you know what? If you just had the 1 minute, if you throw your whole heart into it, I mean, God can say more in 1 minute to you than he might say in an hour to somebody else. You know, he understands what we need. Yeah.
I like to listen to the Bible, but sometimes the voices are like these very academic, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of voices. And a few years ago, an author that I like named Annie Downs started doing a podcast where every month of the year she read through the four Gospels. But each month she read it in a different translation.
Yeah. That's funny that you say that, because Debbie and I have been, after how many years? 45 years. We're finally getting to the place where we're at a season of life where we can both get a little time to start the day, and we listen to our reading. It's recorded, but in all the different versions you have different people reading those different versions. And so for me, just reading it, I really appreciate the NLT Bible. But when you go to listen to the guy that reads the NLT, like first thing in the morning, he's just so enthusiastic and stuff. Debbie says, I'm sorry, I can't handle that guy. So we listened around to two or three different versions, and it was the guy who's reading the ESV is kind of calm and everything like that. And she says, okay, we're going to listen to the ESV just because of the guy's voice is why we're listening to that one. Yeah. Somebody else. Okay. Yeah.
There was a wall over there that the camel go through, and if he was loaded down, he would have to literally get down on his knees
yeah.
and crawl through this rock, and they called it the needle. It was the eye of the needle.
Yeah.
So that's no mystery.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people take, and they've been trying to disprove the word of God for eons, and they're going to keep on doing it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But they're against that. So they've been going after the Bible for years. It's no mystery at all. So you read the Bible, and I pray that God gives me what I need to know.
Amen.
I will never know it all.
Nope.
I don't claim to ever know it all.
Nope.
But I know a lot more than I did when I started.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah. Yep.
But it's not real easy.
Right, right. Yeah, that's good. Uh-oh. Thank you. And Ben, exactly.
I want to tell you that. It contradicts itself. You know, like Christmas. Yeah, well, how does she graze on the hill and all that? Well, actually, if you trace it back and find out when John was born and everything, Jesus was actually born towards the latter part of September.
Uh-huh.
And they had grazed the fields there in September.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't have too much when the snow was up there.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Absolutely.
We want to be careful about that. Other people, what's your practice of reading the Bible?
So I like to start the day reading.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I do begin my day reading the Bible, it just kind of helps me, I guess, put that armor on so that I can face whatever the day throws my way. So.
Yeah.
And then something that Miss Vicky shared with me, a psalm and a proverb.
Uh-huh.
And so I also try to add that in because that just kind of helps me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember for years I was doing a Bible plan to read through the whole Bible in a year, but it didn't start at the beginning. It would have a little Old Testament, a little New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb, but they had done all the work to kind of lay it all out for you. So when you got finished, I think you went through Psalms twice or something like that, but that was really good. Yeah. Other people, what do you do for Bible reading? Mary sets you up on the phone. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It is a great tool. Yeah. Anybody else want to share? Yeah. Yep.
I mean, when I was working, I had to.
Right.
But now I'm like, you know, I'm retired. I have more time.
Uh-huh.
So I really like to read the Bible by faith.
Yeah.
I mean, I know y'all think, well, we all do. But take it at its word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And practice what you just read.
Yes. Yes.
Step by step by step.
Uh-huh.
If you do that.
Yeah.
And you consistently do that, the Holy Spirit that lives in you will teach you.
Yes. Yeah.
I like to stay with God.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get in His word and ask Him, what are you saying?
Yes, yes.
And that's how I got
it. Yeah. I've been, I think God's led me to just one passage that He's saying, Ed, this passage is your homework until you figure this out. And it's that passage about, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, you know, and I'll give you rest. He said, I want you to learn and understand what this really means. And so I keep circling back around to that, keep circling back. So it's like, instead of a lot of volume, like a quantity, it's like, that's another way to go, you know. Dig in on one thing until finally you understand what God's trying to say to you, right?
I might read 2 or 3 chapters one day.
Uh-huh.
But then there are times I get caught on a scripture.
Uh-huh.
And when you read that, even when you would speak it,
uh-huh. Yeah.
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
Read it and live it.
Right.
Don't just get in a thing of reading the novel.
Yes.
This uses your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, the word doesn't change, but we change. And so if I'm like reading through my Bible, that's just been my habit, trying to read through it in a year. When I circle back around to something a year later, I'm a different person. And so this whole thing about application, like what it was to say it to me last year, I might be in a different place where I need to, you know, it's challenging me in some other way. Same words. But like it's hitting me again in a different way. I was really aware of this when we were living in Mexico and we were suffering under just terrible persecution and corruption in the government. They were trying to come and take away our property and everything like that. And all of a sudden I found myself reading through the Bible and all the places where it talks about justice and crying out for justice. And, you know, I just kind of skimmed over those things before. And then I stopped to realize probably the majority of Christians around the world right now are suffering from corruption and being mistreated and hauled off to jail, or their stuff's being taken away, or they're not, you know, just all the injustices out there. And I'd kind of been spoiled, you know, growing up in America. It happens, but, you know, it's not like the rest of the world. And so to have lived it, then when I read those words, I'm going like, man, you know, there's coming a day when we're going to get justice, you know. There's going to be a righteous judge, and, you know, heads are going to roll. And, well, anyway, it's all he's going to take care of that. It's going to be okay. But I had never, like, hadn't been in that situation. So things began to kind of come alive to me that hadn't before. Yeah. Were you going to say something? Were you?
I was.
You still can.
I was just going to say that being the same season of life as him, that I don't necessarily read my Bible always first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I have found that if I read it before bedtime, that I'm able to reflect more fully.
Yeah. Right.
And then the other thing is that because of the season of life I'm in, that throughout the day, if I'm faced with some sort of dilemma or someone says something that makes me go, I can go to the Bible for biblical reference throughout the day.
Yeah.
And that's what works for me at this point.
Right, right. I really appreciate people's comments, and I think you know what I'm hearing is just such a like a diversity of different stages of life and different practices that you have and different ways that we're doing this. But my encouragement would be just, you know, God has gone to such great lengths to reveal himself so that we could know him, so that we could love him. I mean, that's what we're here for. If you wonder, woke up this morning, what am I here for? Well, we're here to glorify God. Well, how do we do that? By loving him. And how do we love him? By knowing him. And how can we know him? In one big way is through his word. Whatever way you're doing that. But I would just encourage you, you know, let's do it more. Let's be more faithful. Let's be more dedicated. Let's be more devoted. Let's have a heart that's hungry for him and wants to know him more. And then that way we can love him more. So I just want to take a minute to show y'all this. This is just one method out of many, but it's been something that's been very meaningful to me. I'll explain why in just a minute. But out of 4 or 5 decades of trying to read my Bible all the way through every year, it's kind of been my practice, this has been very, very satisfying and enlightening, helpful. So it's this thing called the Bible Recap. Lynn, are you still awake up there? Let's flip to the next slide. All right. So I'm just going to tell you how to do this in case you're interested. And so if you have a cell phone, just get it out right now. And you can load this and never use it if you don't want to, but it'll be there for you if you do. Okay, so if you go to the App Store on your cell phone, okay, there is an app called the Bible, and there's several of them, and this one has a little icon. It's just a red Bible that just says Holy Bible. So if you just type in the App Store, just type in Bible, there'll be several different ones. Like one of them will say the King James Version. That's just going to be one. This one has like 1,000 different translations. So just look for the one that just says Holy Bible, okay? And then click on that, and go ahead and download that. Let that little wheel spin around. And Lynn, you can skip to the next slide. And what you should get is something that kind of looks like this, and it'll have a verse of the day on it. What if all you had time for was the verse of the day? You know, great. Just do that. That's fine. But it'll have a verse of the day, and then it'll have, across the bottom of your screen, five little buttons, okay? And those five little buttons, there's a little home button, and there's a little button that says Bible, and the middle one says plans, and then there's one that says discover, and more. So if you've gotten that far, just go ahead and click down at the bottom of your screen on the little middle one that says plans, okay? Lynn, let's go to the next slide. Okay, so if you click on plans, it should look something like that. And so they've got lots of different reading plans. And they've got some plans on different topics, love, anxiety, healing, anger, hope, depression, whatever. But there's a button up there that says find plans. And so if you'll click on that find plans button, Lynn, let's go to the next one. Then there's a little magnifying glass that will you click on to look up a particular plan. And so if you hit the magnifying glass and type in the Bible recap with Tara Lee Cobble, there's one of them that's just the New Testament, and there's another one that does the 365 days. And so you can pick whichever one you want. But so I've been doing the 365-day version. All right. Let me go ahead and flip to the next slide. And so on my phone, I've got two plans. One of them was the one from the Bible Project. And the one at the top is the Bible recap one. And if you notice the little red lines going across, that's how far through I've gotten. So I'm about three quarters of the way through this year with the Bible recap. And then when I did this, this is what it looked like for my day's reading when I made this slide. Lynn, go ahead and flip to the next one there. So it'll have like, that was day 273. And you'll notice down below there's a little devotional. And then there's three chapters. I was in the book of Malachi. And your phone can read it aloud to you. Remember how I was saying Debbie liked the way one guy sounded? But you can pick any version that you like. We like to start our day off together this way. Let me just say something about that devotional. This lady, Tara Lee Cobble, is a single lady in her 30s who's devoted her life to this. And what she'll do is she'll take those three chapters that was for that day, and she'll hit the highlights and kind of review it and talk about what was covered there, explaining some things and offering some insights. She reads through about a dozen commentaries, and she just kind of gleans whatever. But she finishes every one of those little devotions, 5 or 6 minutes. She finishes each of those by asking, what was your God shot from today's reading? And what she's talking about is, what did you learn about God? And she thinks that in every day's reading, we ought to be able to learn something about God. Remember, the whole Bible is written for us to know God better. And that's what I love about this, is that she's encourages to reflect and focus and think, what did we learn about God? And so she'll say, well, my God shot was, and then she'll bring something out that shows something about God, his character, and his relationship with us. And then she always ends with this little phrase. She ends with this, she says, because he's where the joy is. He's where the joy is. And at first I just kind of play that off. That sounds good, you know, nice little ending or something like that. But it's kind of like God has been telling me I need to learn what it means to rest in Him. And this thing about Him being where the joy is, I think that's a lot deeper. It sounds kind of trite, but it's a lot deeper than what I had at first thought. And He wants me to experience joy. He wants me to be the most satisfied child that I could possibly imagine in the arms of my loving, gracious, merciful, generous Heavenly Father. And He wants me to live a life marked by joy. Wouldn't it be great if everybody in this church was just so filled with God's joy? Wouldn't that be attractive to the unsaved that walked in here? Like, what is your old deal, you know? And it's because we know God. And we've come to know Him through His Word. So, Lynn, can you go to the last slide? There you go. This just says, if you would like me to send you a copy of the PowerPoints that I've been using with all the notes and stuff on it, it gives my email address. It gives my email address in blue letters, which I can hardly see. If you want to write it down, it's HNOLALO@gmail.com. Or you can just send me a text. That's my phone number, 828-755-6853. And I guess I can text a PowerPoint back to you if you're interested. Okay. What's that? I'm not sure. I don't know if I know how to do that. Anyway, I'll figure something out. All right. Well, let's close with prayer. Lord God, we thank You that You love us and You want us to love You back and You want us to know You better so that we can. And we appreciate all that we've studied about how far You've gone to make Yourself known to us. And we want to just apologize to You for having maybe taken that lightly or not really valued Your Word or not worked on this relationship with You like we should have, and so that we don't really know You as well as You want us to. And so help us, Lord, to just have more of a passion and a zeal, a commitment, a dedication, a devotion, and help us to find that time to just spend cuddled up with You, hearing You speak to us through Your Word, and just loving You back the way You've loved us. Thank You for each one here, and help us in that walk to continue to draw closer and closer to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys.